Greetings, brothers and sisters, merry wanderers, ready to go Roman through Romans? That's right, Roman through Romans. I came up with that all by myself. Hallelujah. Actually, God probably gave me that, now that I think about it. All the glory to God. Okay. Roman through Romans begins today, Monday, July 12th, and we'll probably go on for 2 to 3 weeks, looks like. Amen. We've got 16 chapters in the book of Romans, the letter to the church in Rome from the Apostle Paul. And we're going to walk through it a chapter a day. So it should be just somewhere between 7, 8, 9, 10 minutes a day. And we'll add some commentary here and there, which probably make the whole series go on for maybe 3 weeks, actually. And of course, every Wednesday we'll have our discussion group, which we'll go deeper into. I'm going to give you today a little brief introduction of this letter that we call Romans. And it's from Eugene Peterson. And we're also going to be using Eugene Peterson's The Message paraphrase of that translation of this great letter. So we'll be reading from The Message. We'll be covering a chapter a day, and every day we'll have a little comment or digging deeper part that will just expose a little bit more of the meaning and interpretation of what we're hearing. So we'll be listening, right? And this is what these daily devotionals really do. But we need to be intentional about our listening skills, because we're really good at hearing and shutting out what we're hearing and filtering what we're hearing and strategizing while we're hearing, but we're not really good with just absorbing what we're hearing into our heart. And that's how we're called to read scripture, anything sacred, really. It's a different way of listening. We take the ears off our head and we put them on our heart, and we let God actually read to us whatever we're hearing and showing us meaning and interpretation and application in our lives, and God really giving us the vision and the words of what we're hearing. So that's listening with the soul. Amen. Well, let's go ahead and get started today, and we'll fall into a routine and a pattern as we go. We're going to start today with a brief introduction to this wonderful, amazing letter, and then we'll have chapter 1 of Romans. All right, Roman through Romans, episode 1, on July 12th. Here's a little introduction. The event that split history into before and after, right, and changed the world, that took place about 30 years before Paul wrote this letter. That was the entry of God into the world. That event, Jesus Christ, splitting history into before and after, changing the world, all happened about 30 years before Paul wrote this letter to the church in Rome. That event, the life and death and resurrection of Jesus, took place in a tiny corner of the gigantic Roman Empire, a place called Palestine. If you didn't know, hardly anyone noticed. Certainly no one in busy and powerful Rome. And when this letter arrived in Rome, hardly anyone read it. Certainly no one of great importance in the world. There was a lot to read in Rome, as there is today. Government decrees, poetry, literature, philosophy, and much of it was world-class stuff. And yet, in no time, as such things go, this letter left all those other writings in the dust. Paul's letter to the Romans has had a far larger impact on its readers than the volumes of all the other Roman writers put together. So you see, this letter quickly became very influential. Even though it was written by someone with no real connections in Roman society, Over the course of time, Paul has connected with every person who has ever read this letter, then and today. The letter to the Romans is an adventure in thinking, right? Here we see that Paul's soul has been given over to God, and so has his mind. Very important. Paul does more than believe in Jesus of Nazareth. He wants to know what that belief means in the real world, just as we do. What does Jesus mean in everyday living? Why did world history take a new direction after the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus? Why does Jesus still have an effect on us today? What is God up to? What does it mean that Jesus saves? What is behind all this? And, oh yeah, where is it going? These are the questions that drive Paul's thinking. Paul's mind performs with grace and ease. His thinking is big, spacious, filled with logic, passion, poetry, imagination, scripture, prayer, history, and yes, personal experience. Romans has become the most important book of faith because here we not only discover the person of Jesus, but throughout the pages of this letter, we begin to discover the meaning of Jesus in our daily lives. Well, let us dive in. The Apostle Paul has written us a letter, originally intended to the church in Rome, but today it's to the church in America. And that's how we should hear it. Let us listen now to the first chapter as we go Roman through Romans. I, Paul, am a devoted slave of Jesus Christ, on assignment, authorized as an apostle to proclaim God's words and acts. I write this letter to all the Christians in Rome, God's friends. The sacred writings contain preliminary reports by the prophets on God's Son. His descent from David roots him in history. His unique identity as Son of God was shown by the Spirit when Jesus was raised from the dead, setting him apart as the Messiah, our Master. Through him, we receive both the generous gift of his life and the urgent task of passing it on to others who receive it by entering into obedient trust in Jesus. Obedient trust in Jesus. You are who you are through this gift and call of Jesus Christ. And I greet you now with all the generosity of God our Father and our Master Jesus the Messiah. I thank God through Jesus for every one of you. That's first. People everywhere keep telling me about your lives of faith. And every time I hear them, I thank him. And God, whom I so love to worship and serve by spreading the good news of his Son, the message, knows that every time I think of you in my prayers, which is practically all the time, I ask him to clear the way for me to come and see you. The longer this waiting goes on, the deeper the ache. I so want to be there to deliver God's gift in person and watch you go stronger right before my eyes. But don't think I'm not expecting to get something out of this too. You have as much to give me as I do to you. Please, don't misinterpret my failure to visit you, friends. You have no idea how many times I've made plans for Rome. I've been determined to get some personal enjoyment out of God's work among you, as I have in so many other non-Jewish towns and communities. But something has always come up and prevented it. Everyone I meet, it matters little whether they're mannered or rude, smart or simple, deepens my sense of interdependence and obligation. And that's why I can't wait to get to you in Rome, preaching this wonderful good news of God. It's news I'm most proud to proclaim, this extraordinary message of God's powerful plan to rescue everyone who trusts Him, starting with Jews and then right on to everyone else. God's way of putting people right shows up in the acts of faith, confirming what Scripture has said all along. Quote, "The person in right standing before God by trusting Him really lives." Unquote. But God's angry displeasure erupts as acts of human mistrust and wrongdoing and lying accumulate, as people try to put a shroud over truth. But the basic reality of God is plain enough. Open your eyes. There it is. By taking a long and thoughtful look at what God has created, people have always been able to see what their eyes as such can't see. Eternal power, for instance, and the mystery of His divine being. So nobody has a good excuse. What happened was this. People knew God perfectly well. But when they didn't treat Him like God, refusing to worship Him, they trivialized themselves into silliness and confusion, so that there was neither sense nor direction left in their lives. They pretended to know it all, but were illiterate regarding life. They traded the glory of God, who holds the whole world in His hands, for cheap figurines you can buy at any roadside stand. So God said, in effect, if that's what you want, that's what you get. It wasn't long before they were living in a pig pen, smeared with filth, filthy inside and out. And all this because they traded the true God for a fake God and worshiped the God they made instead of the God who made them, the God we bless, the God who blesses us. Oh, yes. Worse followed. Refusing to know God, they soon didn't know how to be human either. Women didn't know how to be women. Men didn't know how to be men. Sexually confused, they abused and defiled one another. Women with women, men with men, all lust, no love. And then they paid for it. Oh, how they paid for it. Emptied of God and love. Godless and loveless wretches. Since they didn't bother to acknowledge God, God quit bothering them and let them run loose. And that's when all hell broke loose. Rampant evil, grabbing and grasping, vicious backstabbing. They made life hell on earth with their envy, their wanton killing, their bickering and cheating. Look at them, mean-spirited, venomous, fork-tongued, God-bashers, bullies, swaggerers, insufferable windbags. They keep inventing new ways of wrecking lives. They ditch their parents when they get in the way. Stupid, slimy, cruel, cold-blooded, And it's not as if they don't know better. They know perfectly well they're spitting in God's face. And they don't care. Worse, they hand out prizes to those who do the worst things best. Amen. Chapter 1 of Paul's letter to the Romans. Amen.